We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. Oh, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. To magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Just worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. So just forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. Oh, just forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. Just forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship Christ our Lord. Just worship him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us lift up holy hands to magnify his name and worship him. Oh, let us lift up holy hands to magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Just worship him, Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Magnify his name and worship him. Oh, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. Oh, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ.
Once like a bird in prison I dwell, there's no freedom from the sorrow I felt. Oh, then Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison. I'm glory bound, my Jesus is broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free.
Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this evening? Maybe there's somebody that didn't clap on the song that just needed to clap for Jesus. Amen. It's good to just be on the winning team, and we have a right to rejoice. Amen. I don't have any prayer requests this evening, but I know that there's many prayer requests represented here and ones that were read this morning. So as we go to prayer, if you have an unspoken prayer request, just make that known to the Lord. He knows the need on your heart. Brother Sam Ventura, would you come and just pray over the prayer requests represented by the uplifted hand? Just invite the presence of the Holy Spirit here. I believe He's here, but we want Him to be welcome. God bless you.
Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so glad to be in Your house tonight, Lord. We're glad, Lord, that You call us unto a wedding supper, Lord. And what a privileged people we are, Lord. And may we never take it for granted, Lord, that, Lord, there'll be a minister come up and preach the Word of God. And Lord, there's so many people on this earth that are dwelling in darkness, Lord. And, Lord, we have the light, and we ought to rejoice in the light. And we're so glad, Lord, that You opened our eyes one day. We're dwelling in darkness, and You opened our eyes, Lord. And Lord, we pray for more revelation tonight, Lord, that You would come down in a mighty way and look into each and every life today, Lord, and the minister can get up here and say something that only, Lord, the receiver would know, Lord. And Lord, it's an amazing thing, Lord. You know the thoughts and the intents of the heart, Lord. And Lord, You know what we're going through. We know that the challenges that we face each and every day. Lord, the mistakes that we make. Lord, we're so glad, as we heard this morning, there's a blood covering for us, Lord. And what a wonderful thing, Lord. We're just such a blessed people, Lord Jesus. Receive our worship tonight, Lord. And we're so grateful, Lord, for what You've done on Calvary for us, Lord. And Lord, for every maybe an uplifted hand or whatever is in their hearts, Lord, tonight, we all the requests made known, Lord, we just ask that You would touch and meet every need there, Lord. Lord, may You just speak through Your minister tonight. Give us ears to hear. May You give us eyes to see and a heart to receive, Lord. May we walk out of Your sanctuary, Lord, filled with Your presence, Lord, that we could give out as we've received, Lord. We thank You for it now, and receive our worship tonight, and may the songs be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Had a request as we came into church this evening for Sister Chloe to sing, so we're going to invite her to come at this time. And God bless you.
Chain break.
Appreciate that, Sister Chloe. Amen. God bless you. We have Sister Sierra Scott here visiting with us from Delaware. She has a song for us this evening. I believe Sister Stephanie Nicholson is going to sing with her, so we'd ask them to come at this time.
Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Precious blood of Jesus Christ, oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The treasure you found, Jesus
You appreciate our special singing this evening? Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. This is 174 in your hymn book if you don't know it.
I am a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin. I'm on my way to that fair city when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I know I'll see my Savior if I is free from sin. Oh, heaven's doors will open for me when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
You'll be part of that number. Amen. Amen. God bless you richly. Good to be in church again tonight. And I've asked Brother Arnie if he would take the service and minister for us tonight. So we're certainly looking forward to hearing our brother. I think all of you know him by now, even some of the new folks and things. Brother Arnie Bird, he's been a blessing over the years to many of you I know. And he's worked for years here in this area. God used him to have services in the home there at his house, and then they moved over to Brother Daniel Cooley's for quite a few years there and had service in his basement, and then finally felt led just to come in and work with us. And he's been a blessing as a musician and as a special singer, as a minister brother, and we're just blessed. We had a minister's meeting here on Saturday. And I told the brothers, I said, there's 10 of us now, including myself, I guess, and we had a good time of fellowship. And I told the brothers, I said, I don't want this to be a council, but I want it to be a camaraderie. And I looked up what that word camaraderie meant. It meant good fellowship. And so I'm thankful for brothers that we can have good fellowship with, and looking forward to whatever Brother Arnie would have on his heart tonight to bring to us, and just want to make him feel welcome to whatever he would have just feel free to share it with us and yield to the Lord in whatever aspect the Lord would take him, whatever direction. Maybe he's got notes and things that he thinks he's going to talk about, and maybe somebody has a need tonight and you'll begin to pull on the gift and he won't even touch what he thought he was going to preach on. The Lord has ways of doing things like that, but amen. We want whatever the Lord wants tonight, don't we? Amen. Let's sing this together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amen. I'm thankful for his grace, aren't you? Amen. Let's sing it this way first. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, we've got something to praise him about. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. When we've been there, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the praise than when we birth. Let's sing it this way. Oh, it's amazing. Oh, that same.
Bless you. You can be seated. It's really good to be in the house of the Lord tonight and to be gathered with God's wonderful people. This is the cream of the crop right here. There are a lot of good people out there, Brother Terry, but this is some of the best right here. Amen. I appreciate Brother Nathan inviting me to share his pulpit. I know that he's always got a lot on his plate that he could share with you, but I feel like the Lord's given me a little something to pass on to you tonight. And Brother Branham said if a man comes into the pulpit and he's been praying and seeking the Lord and looking into the Word and the people are there and they're expecting something from God, then that's just what will happen. Amen. We get what we expect. So I don't have anything to offer you except to point you to him. There are no big I's and little U's in the message. It's just all about the Lord and the way that he's revealing himself to us in these closing moments of time. I'm really glad to be part of that. I believe the last time I've been around for quite a few years and I still haven't gotten used to these. I guess I was probably cut out to be a stump preacher, I guess they call it. I know I was enjoying the young brothers on New Year's Eve. All those fellows that shared. I thought that was a great idea that Brother Nathan had to to have the young fellows share, and I wish I could have the prowess that some of those guys displayed that night. They do better with the microphone than I do. I'm just not used to microphones, you would think, after all these years, but we're just a mouthpiece, and if the Lord has something that he wants to share with his people, we try to be available. I appreciate Brother Nathan realizing that there's a diversity of gifts in the body of Christ, and if the Lord places a gift there, then that means it's supposed to be used, and it also means that that gift is vital. And I don't believe that a congregation, especially one this size, could flourish just listening to one single solitary voice continuously. That's why God has ministry. And it doesn't matter if that voice were to be prophet, priest, or king. It's more than just one voice. Amen. To the bride. It's called fivefold ministry. And I believe God has ordained that for this hour. And I certainly believe that Brother Nathan is part of that. That's for sure. And I have a little part to play, and it may not be the biggest part, but I want to do what God's asked me to do. Yes. Brother Branham said in a message, convinced and concerned, he said, "You are raised with him. You're with Christ now, seated in heavenly places." Amen. And if you're the skin on the bottom of the feet, every devil is underneath you. Yes. That's right, exactly right. So the devil will either tell you that you're some big something or that you're a little something. There's no middle of the road. He's going to always kind of go out of bounds one way or the other. But there's only one big one among us. Okay, I'm going to try to do this with my hands free. I've got so much stuff up here that I've got to be able to have both hands. But New Year's Eve, I really appreciated the young men that shared. Like Brother Caleb stood up here and corrected a multitude of people in this area when he reminded them what our absolute is. Our absolute is the Word of God, and I believe all of us believe that. It's only one absolute. And that's the Word of God. And Brother Aaron, he opened his heart, was transparent with everybody. And he spoke about his eyes. He said he wished he could lay his glasses down and receive his healing, but that he felt like he probably didn't have the faith. And then Brother Attila came after that, and he addressed that, and he said, he reminded him what the Apostle Paul had gone through, and the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient." So there can be times when God may give you something greater or better than a healing. It's hard for us to accept that at times when it's us, but nonetheless, we know that God knows what's best. He knows what's best for you, and he knows what's best for me. Now, I'm going to try not to give you one of those button sermons that I was reading about on Brother Nathan's desk down there a minute ago, where the preacher put the button in his mouth instead of the mint, and he went on. I know the last time I spoke, I believe Brother Darrell's little grandson, what's his name?
Xavier.
After the service, he told his papa, he said, I'm tired. I'm really tired. He talked a long time. Those little children, they'll just tell you like it is. And some days later, I was downstairs and I went in the restroom. And little Xavier was standing there trying to get his overalls undone, and he couldn't get the buckle loose. And so I said, he looked up at me and said, well, will you help me get this undone? And I could have said, I'm tired. But I didn't do that. I helped him get his little buckle undone. And I said, you want me to help you when you come back out? He went in the little stall there, and he said, yeah. So I waited for him, and I buckled him back up, sent him on his way. You know what? I felt like that I was serving God just as much, helping little Xavier get his overalls buckled, as I am standing here. So I learn a lot from little children. I have Alice and I have 9 little grandchildren. And it's a whole new world when you get grandchildren. There's no way you can explain it. If you don't have grandchildren, there's just no way to explain it. And it seems like just yesterday that Brother Nathan and I in the storefront church, we dedicated little Lily Bird back there. And that's when she was a little baby bird. Now she's a little lady bird. But Brother Nathan, being the servant that he is, I remember he held the microphone for me while we dedicated little Lily. That says a lot to me. Amen. But I appreciate my little grandchildren, and I could go on and on and on about them, but I won't do that. But like I said, God has a diversity of gifts in the bride. And he has young ministers like Brother Nathan, full of vim and vigor. And then he's got some of the older fellows like some of us, but we all have a part to play. People want to put it all on Brother Branham, and that grieves me. It really grieves me to see that they've elevated Brother Branham to the place that he's so perfectly right that they can't even imagine him making a left turn. That's about how extreme that it's gotten. But if you listen real close, he will steer you away from that. And we can show you where the fivefold ministry was put into the message. And somebody has to show me where it was taken out. But I'm really glad to have the opportunity to share with you. And I remember the brother Aaron, when he was sharing on New Year's Eve, he said, "I'm really nervous." Well, I've got a news flash for you, brother Aaron. You won't ever get over that. Because I'm a little nervous myself. But I don't believe anybody should stand before God's people like this without being a little cautious, and feeling just a little bit, I won't say apprehensive, but you just can't stand up here and be something that you're not. I can't. Brother Trevor was talking yesterday evening. He mentioned something about imposter syndrome or something to that effect. I can't stand up here and be an imposter because I have family here that knows me real well. They know the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I can't act like I'm some big soup or something. I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can take anybody and make somebody out of them. And that's what he did for me. He picked me up when I was nothing. And Brother Branham said, "I'm still nothing, but I'm in his hand." Amen. Isn't that good? You're in his hand, Brother Jimmy. So I'm no great preacher. I can't preach like Brother Nathan. I'm not supposed to. And I'm certainly not the preacher that these other brothers are, Brother Layton and Brother Hoover, and I'm certainly not the pulpiteer that Brother Attila is, but I appreciate those men. I appreciate them just as much. I appreciate that in them more than if it was me. But one thing I've seen over the years, that God can take just a little that we will give him, and he can multiply it and make it into something great. And I'm just trying to find a place of ease here. You pray for me. And so I'll just say that I love the Lord. Brother Branham said this. He said, "I love the Lord, and the only way that I know that I love him is because I love you." That's the way that I feel about this group of people here. And I'm really glad that the Lord raised up a young man to step out. Brother Nathan got his wings a number of years ago, but when he began this endeavor, God really took him to the next level, and I really appreciate him having this house of refuge here. It's been a great blessing to so many people. And I know some of you people have gone through lots of challenges and problems and troubles and trials like we all have. That's what makes us what we are. And Alice and I, it was probably 35 years ago, we had to separate from some people that we loved a great deal. You know, the Bible says there was a division among the people because of him. So the devil will say, "Oh, you had to, there was a split. Oh, there was a, you had to leave somewhere. You had to separate." God's always separating. Cells have to separate in order to grow. So don't let the enemy tell you that just because you've had things like that happen in your life that you've made a mistake somewhere. I remember when Communion Sunday came around after the Lord directed Alice and I in a different direction. And we went down to the Falls of the Ohio when my children were little. And I served communion to my family down there. Listened to the seagulls hollering and flying around on the wall. But God was there. Brother Branham said his first Bible was nature. He said before he ever read the Bible, he knew God because he found him in nature. Amen. Okay, I love you and you love me, so there isn't anything for any of us to be worried about or concerned about. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me just for a moment. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I want to read beginning with verse 1, if you follow along with me. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God a service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I'm going away to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So let's pray. Precious Lord, thank you for another opportunity to look into your word. And we can open the pages, but I can't do anything, Lord, unless you do it. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay, that I might be able to speak a word in season that would be a comfort to someone who needs a touch from the Lord tonight. But most of all, I pray that you'd help me to be able to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. That's why we're here. We're gathered here, Lord, for one reason. That's to lift you up and to fellowship with you and to become more like you. And I pray that you would help us in these next few minutes now. And I pray that you'd help me to get myself out of the way. That's hard for me to do, but with your help, I believe I can do that. And I trust you'll help us and have your way and bless these dear people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I have another verse that I want to share with you. I won't ask you to turn to it, but it's 1 Corinthians 10:23. And Paul said, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." So my topic is, the good can be the enemy of the best. The good can be the enemy of the best. And also the word expedient. I've just had that word on my heart for days and days and days. All things are lawful, but all things aren't expedient. Paul was saying we can do just about anything we want to do. We have freedom in the Spirit. We have liberty. And God has set us free from denominationalism and tradition and ritual and customs that's been handed down for generations. And he's brought us into a light that has never shone this bright before. So we can do just about anything we want to do. But, of course, we need to add there that we're going to want to do what pleases Him if we're walking with Him. But God wants His best for us. He doesn't want us to just get by. He doesn't want us to just squeak by the skin of our teeth, as the old saying goes. He wants us to be blessed, and He wants us to flourish, and He wants us to grow, and He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to live life to the fullest. And if anybody should be able to enjoy life, it should be the children of God. Amen. Anybody. Paul said, well, I put it like this: we can do whatever we want, but all things are not constructive to character, one translation says. All things are not constructive to character, and character is the only thing that we're going to take with us. So I think it's all important that you and I be concerned about what kind of character we're developing. Because that's what you're going to be when you get over there. You're going to be what that character is. So we should pay very close attention to that. Now, another translation says, all things are not good for others. Now, Brother Branham said that eternal life is living for others. If there's anything that has given me freedom over the years, it's when I can grab on to that and hold on to that, living for others. Get our minds off of ourselves. And our, you know, I heard a saying that a man wrapped up in himself makes a real small package. And if we can just get our minds off of ourselves, usually when I get troubled or bothered about things, and I ask the Lord what the problem is, it's never been His fault, I can tell you that. Amen. It's always been something that I'm falling short in, and it's usually just based on self-centeredness, selfishness. It's always about me, me, me. And this is the me generation. And it's difficult to be generous with people in such a selfish society. But I believe, you know, when it's the darkest out there, that's when the light shines brighter. I remember Brother Nathan speaking about the darkness, and just one little candle, one little light can just blast the darkness back. One small little birthday candle could lighten this room in here. We are lights. We're to shine as lights, and we have to get out of ourselves before we can really enjoy walking with the Lord. Now, in our text, Jesus is telling His disciples that He's leaving. And I can imagine that they're probably asking, they didn't have the New Testament to read like we do. They were probably saying, well, where are you going? What are you going to do? Can we go with you? I don't know what they may have been thinking, but they probably thought, well, we've got a good thing going here. There's signs and wonders. There's miracles galore. Now you're leaving? I mean, we understand. You and I understand that now, but they didn't. They didn't have access to what you and I have access to. They weren't able to switch from the natural to the spiritual. But Jesus simply let them know that He couldn't hold their hand. He wasn't going to continue to hold their hand. And He said, I'm going to send you a comforter, and He'll give you power and authority to carry out my plan. Now, to the disciples, it probably seemed like the end of the world, but actually it was just the beginning. Amen. Back to Paul's words, he said, all things are perfectly legitimate and permissible. Now, in this hour especially, there are numerous things that we do just out of tradition rather than expediency. Let's just take marriage, for instance. I can comment on that a little bit because I've been fortunate enough to be joined up with this one of the sweetest ladies on the planet for almost a half a century now. So a man could come home in the evening and announce to his wife and his children, "I'm home now. I'm in charge. I'm the leader here. I'm the boss." Technically, he would be right. Technically, that would be permissible. But I wouldn't advise that. If you have to keep telling people that you're the leader, you're probably not a very good leader. And a dominating husband, in my opinion, is pretty much akin to a Nicolaitan pastor. I've seen some of that. I've seen quite a lot of that in the message, and it's unfortunate. It used to make me mad. But nowadays, I'm glad that I don't get mad. I just get sad. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:24, he said, "It's not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy." Isn't that great? Brother Nathan doesn't have dominion over the people in this congregation. He's a helper of your joy. And what is joy? Joy of the Lord is your strength. So if a pastor can encourage the people to have joy, now I'm not talking about just laughter and dancing in the aisles necessarily, but joy is something greater than just having fun. You know, kids have fun. They can have fun doing anything. But joy is something that goes much deeper, and it expresses itself in strength for us to keep carrying on. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. Unfortunately, there are brothers out there, I've known some over the past few decades, that they want to take dominion over the people. And God will not allow any, he will not allow any man to dominate over his people. Amen. And we follow a pastor or our leaders, we follow them as they follow Christ. Amen. And if a pastor has the attitude of Christ, you'll be happy with him. Amen. And I want to say something to husbands. I'm not a marriage counselor by any means, but I have learned a few things along the way. But I'm going to tell you 7 little words that can keep romance in your marriage. Doesn't sound real romantic, but it will translate into that. And it's this. "Honey, I was wrong, and I am sorry." I see the men kind of. It's not easy to do that. I can tell you, after being married to an angel for almost half a century. That's a long time. Wow. She's just more dear to me today than when we first met. And I can tell you, if you're newlyweds, it just gets gooder and gooder and gooder. Brother Branham said that God couldn't give a man anything greater than a Christian wife. Amen. One old fellow said that the most beautiful and fragrant flowers in all of God's kingdom garden is a gracious Christian lady. Yes. I love to see that. I love to be out somewhere and see a Christian woman. You can tell them pretty quick. Amen. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Now, a true apology, husbands, a true apology does not have any ifs or ands or buts in it. Now, I could say, honey, I'm sorry, but you were talking about my family. If you put that but in there, you're not sorry. If you have to say but. What if the Lord would have said that to us? I forgive you, but. A true apology. You take the blame. And it pays big dividends. Amen. I know some husbands have been guilty of. Have you ever been guilty of giving your wife silent treatment? Yeah, maybe you haven't, but I heard about this one guy that he got his little feelings hurt. And so he decided he was going to give his wife the silent treatment. So he went all day long. He didn't speak to her. I know you guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you? He went all day long and didn't speak to her. So she went on to bed, and then he realized that he had to catch an early flight out of town the next morning. And she's always the one that gets up early and makes coffee and so on. So he said, I can't talk to her. She's being punished. She didn't treat me well as she should have yesterday. So he just said, well, I'm not going to talk to her. I'll leave her a note. So he wrote a little note, told her he needed to get up. I need you to wake me up in the morning at 6 o'clock or I'll miss my flight. So the next morning he woke up at 8 o'clock. And he said, I'll wait till I get in there to her. And then he looked on his nightstand, and there was a little note. And it said, honey, it's 6 o'clock. Wake up. They have ways. They have ways. It'll backfire on you every time. Now, the feminists of this hour, they hate the Word of God. They hate things like submission and wives being in subjection to your husbands. And I know it. I've heard people say, well, the Apostle Paul was a chauvinistic pig. I've heard people actually say that because of things that he said. But it's, of course, the reason is they're looking at the Word of God with the wrong filter. But the Bible does say that wives should be in subjection to their husbands. And Alice pointed out to me one day in the Amplified Version that it said that wives should be adaptable to their husbands. She showed it to me. That's good, you know, when the wife shows it to you. But she said wives should be adaptable. I thought that was good. But my, we need to adapt to one another. But I want to point out something. If you think it's tough on you that God has told you to be in subjection to your husband, I believe the Word of God gives us brothers just as big, if not a bigger challenge. Right. When he says, you're to love your wife as Christ loved his church. Amen. So that means you die for her. I would die 10 slow deaths if it would help my wife. And I don't say that because I'm some special kind of somebody. I say that because God has done something to my heart.
Amen.
He's done something on the inside that no psychologist or no psychiatrist, no doctor could ever do. He can take a heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. And that's certainly what he did with this old guy. When I was young and before I was married, I used to think, how could somebody just keep loving? Now, this is all relating. I hope you're reading between the lines here. Brother Branham said that the best part of Scripture is written between the lines. And he related that to a love letter that he got from his little wife when he was gone. And she said, honey, I've got the kids to bed now. And I was just thinking about you. And I miss you. And Brother Branham said, that's what she said, but I know what she was really saying. Amen. Isn't that great?
Amen.
That's the way it is with us. I'm talking about not just our natural marriages. I'm talking about the love affair that we're to have with Him.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Lord. I was wrong. And there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It's my fault. I can't blame my wife. I can't blame society. I can't blame my enemies. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I don't know of a better way that God could express his love for his bride than to give us families. And to give us wives. And to give the ladies husbands. He expresses it in the natural so that we can understand it in the spiritual. And I want to say something else, maybe a tad bit unusual, but you brothers, if you haven't washed your wife's feet lately, you don't know what you're missing. Do I have a quote for that? No. There's not going to be as much as we try, there's not always going to be a quote for everything. Brother Branham said, sometimes God does things that's outside the scope of his word. And Brother Nathan he's a master at finding those quotes. But look, we shouldn't make a man have to give us 10 quotes for everything that he says, because I want to know what he thinks about it too. Because he's got a good heart toward God. See, so if all we did was just give you quotes, well, you could do that at home. I'd just send you a list. He could just send us all a list by email and we'd read it at home. But Brother Branham was talking about at the Pool of Bethesda, for instance. He said they could have asked Jesus, where's the scripture for this angel troubling the waters and people getting healed? Brother Branham said, there was none. See? We got to be able to read between the lines. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about taking license. I know people say some off the wall, outlandish things, and you ask them where they got the world. I read between. No, you didn't. You read on the back of the page. See, if we have the Spirit of Christ in us, We're not going to make up things that just serve their own self-interest. But we can read between the lines. And I do that all the time. I know things like that can get abused. Because two people can listen to Brother Branham say the same thing and hear two different things. So we're talking about expedience. That means what's best. There are so many good things that you and I can get involved in and spend our time with that are good, so very good, but they are not what's best. God wants what's best for us. Is that right, Noah? Amen. Another little deacon coming up here. You have to pardon me for being sentimental and stuff about grandchildren, but I heard Bob Russell, Brother Nathan mentioned his name yesterday. Bob Russell, he's a retired pastor of Southeast Christian Church. But I heard him say once, he said, I get tired of these guys. Every time you talk to them, oh, let me tell you about my grandkids. Let me tell you what my grandson did. And he said, I got fed up with that. And then he said, but 1 year and 2 months and 12 hours and 11 minutes and 14 seconds ago, my little grandson was born. Now he understands. Now he understands what all that was about. One thing the Lord's been showing me recently is that we are more involved and consumed with ritual and tradition and customs than we can hardly imagine. We do so many things out of tradition. That's just the way Mom and Dad did it. Now the Jews, they had what was called oral tradition. Now that was handed down from grandpa and great-grandpa and great-great-grandpa. And those oral traditions began to stand for those things so adamantly that Jesus eventually said that your traditions make the word of God of none effect. Can you imagine that? A tradition so embedded that it would sap the life out of the living word of God. And the Bible talks about Jesus not being able to do any miracles because of their unbelief. You can tie the hands of God with unbelief. And we can tie the hands of God with traditional thinking and customary things. Oh my, the Jews were horrible about that. It's no wonder. Well, but the Lord wants us to keep an eye on that. I'm not just talking about the Jews, I'm talking about us too. But they were so hard-headed that you couldn't have broken that shell with a sledgehammer. If a little ounce of revelation would have tried to descend upon their hard heads, it wouldn't have had a chance. It would have rolled right off. It's because that's the way Mom did it. That's the way Grandmom did it. But my, Jesus wants to show himself new and fresh to us every day. The Bible says that morning by morning, new mercies I see. The Bible speaks of singing a new song. What's new about Amazing Grace that we sing? Brother Nathan, haven't we worn that out yet? He just sang it again a minute ago. And it sounded like it was the first time that you ever heard it. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now found. Was blind, but now I see. See, I'm looking at a guy that knew me way back then. when Jesus came on the scene and told the Jews, "I have a better way," they balked and they drugged their feet. Bad choice. Real bad choice. I heard a story of an old brother. He had a lot of grandkids. He loved his grandkids. His wife had passed away, and he lived in a little cottage by himself. Everybody had heard down through the years that he was saving up a little nest egg that he was going to give to his grandchildren when he passed away. He wanted to leave them a little something. So all the grandkids, of course, would visit Grandpa regularly. A lot of them out of obligation. Well, it's funny what money can do to people. There was a couple guys that said, "If you ever win the lottery, I'll split it with you. You do the same for me." Okay. One of them won the lottery, and the other guy went to see him. "Where's my hat?" Money does funny things to people. But he had a little grandson named Benjamin. And little Benjamin would visit his papa because he loved him. They had a special bond together. And one day all the grandkids were there, and the grandfather, he lived in a little cottage, and he just had a wooden plank floor on the living room. And he drew a map on the floor, and he had trees and rocks and the little creeks. It was a map of his property there. And he put a X on a certain spot. And he would take his little cane and he would tell the grandchildren, "There's treasure." He would point to that X and he would say, "There's treasure buried right there." The next day, little Benjamin was visiting with his papa, and they looked out the window and dirt was flying everywhere. Those other grandkids had drawn a picture of the map, and they were out there trying to find that treasure that their papa had told them about. But they didn't have any luck with that. Benjamin grew up, and papa passed away, and he left his little cottage to Benjamin. Benjamin had become a carpenter and so forth over the years, and he wanted to fix the house up a little bit. That map was still on the floor with the X drawn on one of the planks. When he took that plank up, right underneath where that X was, underneath was a metal box with valuable gold coins. There was the treasure that his papa had told him about. And he pointed to it with his cane and he said, "There's treasure buried right there." But they failed to see it, as plain as it was for the Jews and the scribes and the Pharisees. He pointed them right to himself in the scripture. Look at this. It told he was to be born of a virgin. It told how he was going to be treated. And still they couldn't see. There's a song from years ago that said, "There are none so blind as those who will not see. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." So little Benjamin, after all that years, he found the treasure. And his papa probably knew exactly how that would happen. The Jews had good ideas galore. But just keep in mind, the good is the enemy of the best. God wants his best, the best for his bride. He doesn't want us to have any kind of secondhand doctrine. He doesn't want us to have beliefs that have been manipulated by man's own thoughts and ideas. Brother Branham said, speaking of the scripture that says, he that overcomes, he said, overcomes what? His own thoughts and his own ideas. They missed their day because of traditional thinking. Now, don't just think I'm talking about them. I'm talking about us. I could spend an hour just listing things that we do totally out of tradition. And we can't, I mean, I know we can't throw them all out, but it's just tradition. That's why we need wisdom. That's why we need the wisdom of God. They missed their day. Now, Brother Branham was visiting with the brother and the sister who had the herald of his coming. I don't remember. I've forgotten their names now. And the sister would say to Brother Branham, Brother Branham, what we need is for God to send a prophet. Here he was. Here was Malachi 4 sitting at the table eating with them. And this sister telling him, oh, Brother Branham. She probably felt real spiritual, I guess. I don't know. What we need is for God to send a prophet. How would you deal with that? If that would have been me, well, I think I would have picked up the beef gravy and poured it right on the cherry pie and politely walked out the door. Brother Branham knew who he was, but he wasn't going to stand up and say, look, silly woman, don't you know who I am? Don't you see who I am? Prophets don't act like that. They don't have to tell anybody about it. God speaks for them. And God spoke for that little hillbilly from Kentucky. Aren't you glad? Oh, my. Of course, that's why I'm just an old shepherd boy. I'm not a prophet, that's for sure. But you just wonder how Brother Branham could. Well, that's what made him what he was. Things like that. We have a lot of traditional thinking about spiritual gifts. I hesitate to mention certain topics. I was telling Alice on the way over here, I hate to mention certain topics because as soon as I do, this Roman candle goes off in my head and a thousand things comes to my mind that I could say about gifts and this topic and that topic, and then I have to say, Lord, I don't want to give anybody a piece of my mind. I want to give them something from my heart, and that's where he has to come in and make the decision about what's been said. Like Brother Nathan said, we can have all the notes that we want, but we have to be willing to let God help us change horses in the middle of the stream, if you will. Now, it's perfectly good and all right for people to desire spiritual gifts. I believe that with all of my heart. And Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts. And I believe the life of King Solomon tells us clearly what the best gift is. What is that? Wisdom. With all you're getting, young men, you brothers that feel a call of God to minister, pray that God will give you wisdom. Wisdom can make a way where there is no way. Just like when Solomon took that little baby and he said, oh, if you're going to fight about it, I'll just cut it in half. Who would have thought of that? And we're faced with problems that are just as difficult and just as trying as what Solomon dealt with. And if ever we needed wisdom, it's today. So, we have to have wisdom in this hour or we will perish. We have to be able to make a choice between 2, 3, or 4, or 5 real good things. So we have to be able to admit that we don't know beans from potatoes when it comes to the Word of God. I know that doesn't sound exactly kosher, but you could take all of our knowledge and put it together and multiply it by 10 billion times and it wouldn't scratch the surface of what's in this great book, Brother Nathan. We've got our phones and we can pull them out and we can search any subject, any topic. I mean, never before has knowledge spread like it is today. But that's not the answer. But I'll just say this. I could talk about that subject for days and days. And Brother Nathan does a much better job of explaining it than I do. But I'll say this. We can't do without wisdom. If you want to pray for a gift. I mean, if you have a gift, God bless you. That's great and wonderful. But when I pray for a gift, I say, oh, God, give me wisdom. Grant me wisdom that I'll be able to know right from wrong. When Solomon prayed, he wanted to know how to tell the difference between right and wrong. Because in this day and hour, there's such a fine line there between death and destruction and hope and health, spiritually speaking. You can't just flip a coin walking with God. You have to be in touch with Him and you have to be able to feel that little tug in your heart. Go this way. Go that way. You have to be able to discern those things. Because God doesn't always paint the picture clearly for you to where you don't have to think or where you don't have to pray or you don't have to meditate on His Word to see what to do. He doesn't always make it real clear, but He'll see you through if you look to Him. Amen. The Bible says that we receive not. Why? Because we ask not. That's so simple that it just staggers my imagination that it's even in there. Right. So it must not be simple, Brother Ben. We ask not. We receive not because we ask not. Ask God for wisdom tonight. You want some advice from an old man, an old Christian man? Pray for wisdom before you go to bed tonight. Because it's getting harder and harder to know what's right and wrong, let alone what's best. Only the bride's going to know what's best in the spiritual realm. The denominations and so forth, they've got some good things going on. Alice and I, years and years ago, we visited over at Southeast Christian Church. You've heard of that, probably a lot of you. It was wonderful. Wonderful. But it wasn't this. He didn't have a pastor standing in the pulpit telling you what thus saith the Lord was. It was good. Really, really good. Read between the lines. I'll say this about gifts. If the Lord Jesus is at the helm of your heart and you have access to any gift, anytime, any place, anywhere, we have access to that. All those gifts are wrapped up in Christ. And Brother Branham said, take all the gifts, every gift in the Bible, put them together, I'll take me a bucket of love. Doesn't mean that you dump the other out. It just means, see what I'm saying? Of course. Well, I know I'm not talking to any dummies here. These little children know more about Scripture. They know more about what God's doing. I could ask Nathaniel, do you know who the prophet to this age was? Look at that. You could go to the Southern Baptist Seminary and ask every student in there and their professors. They wouldn't come nowhere near to knowing what little Nathaniel knew. Isn't that something? Oh, my, out of the mouth of babes. I had a friend who attended a Baptist Seminary a little over years ago. And he said they have a term that they use. It's called bibliolatry. Bibliolatry, that's where they make an idol out of the study of the Word of God. Can you imagine that? Bibliolatry. They're there because they have a lust for knowledge. If there was ever a nation that has placed knowledge and learning and education on a pedestal, it's the United States of America. Americans worship knowledge. And the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. Now, we have to know a lot of things. We have to know how to get home, and we have to know how to cook. We have to know how to do this, that, that. We have to know. We have to have some knowledge, for goodness sakes, but we just have to be careful, especially ministers, because sometimes we can get to thinking that we know a little something because we study a whole lot. And I'll tell you one mistake that ministers can make. I've done it 1,000 times. I'll be looking into the Word, looking into the message, and something will jump up at me, and I'll say, well, I've never seen that before. Can't wait to tell everybody about it. And he was talking to me, for goodness sakes. It wasn't for me to tell everybody about everything the Lord shows Brother Nathan isn't for him to bring and give to you. It's for him. He's got to be fed, too. Who do you think does that? That's right. Yeah. But it's certainly not just about knowledge. And I want to point out something that's real important. Don't mistake a lust for knowledge for a hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's a world of difference. There was a Christian mystic named Francis of Finland 200-300 years ago. And he said this, oh, how we deceive ourselves when we suppose that we're growing in grace because our vain curiosity is being gratified through enlightenment of the intellect. Now that was a mouthful, but basically what it's saying, you're pretty dumb if you think learning a lot's going to make you like Christ. We're going to become like him by spending time with him. Amen. Nobody has access. Nobody has access to him like we do. Nobody has access to the Holy of Holies like the Bride of Christ does. And God shows things. A man shows things to his wife. A wife knows things about her husband that nobody else knows. I know things about Alice that nobody else knows, regardless of what my daughter Roxanne might think. Nobody knows the wife like the husband, and nobody knows the husband like the wife. Why is that? Because it's personal. It's not about how you get along in church. Brother Jack Duff was here, and he said, it's easy for somebody to come in amongst saints of God like this and everybody worshiping and so forth, and we just get to feeling so good. Well, you couldn't keep from feeling victorious in a setting like this. But I want to suggest something to you. I'm not going to push anything down anybody's throat. God doesn't enter like that. He goes through the heart, right straight to the heart. He doesn't get pushed on anybody, and he doesn't push himself on us. But if your most rewarding and enjoyable times with him isn't in private, then something's wrong. You get more exhilaration if the greatest times that you can remember in your walk with God has been something that happened to you in church. You might want to take another look. God doesn't romance his bride in public. A man doesn't romance his wife in public. It's that secret place. Brother Branham said that secret place. I think he said in his home, his secret place was the bedroom. A place where you can get alone with God, just you and him. And you pull the curtain back and everything shut off from outside. The only light in there is what's being illuminated to your heart. And that'll always be in private. As good as church is, for heaven's sakes, don't think that I'm belittling going to church or having a wonderful time in church. I'm not doing that. But I want to ask you, do you have the same wonder when you're alone with him? Brother Branham said, we create the atmosphere that we live in. We want to create an atmosphere that makes him welcome. So don't depend on how much you know. When I was going to school up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, when I was 21, a friend of mine had a little thing on his desk, and it said, he who knows, well, when you looked at it from across the room, you saw three words, knows, 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 K-N-O-W-S. And when you got up close, the little word said, he who knows, knows how little he knows. He who knows, knows how little he knows. We have only scratched the surface. God's word and the character of God, the person of God, is so great that he will continuously unfold himself to us forever and forever and forever. I can't fathom there never being an end to something. I short circuit my brain when I try to think, never an end. Where does space end? Well, what's outside that? Little kids can really tie you up in school. Asking mom and dad about, it's unfathomable on this side. And when we cross over, when we get that body change that Brother Nathan mentioned today, when we get that body change, it's going to be a different story. But we will still not know everything. We're not going to know everything. We'll know a whole lot more because God is so vast. His personality, his character is so monumental that we could never exhaust it if we were in heaven for billions and billions of years. We won't even be talking about time. Watch? What's a watch? Calendar? What's a calendar? Sundown? What's sundown? The sun's always rising and on the other side. I'm looking forward to that. some people might look at, you know, an old fellow like me and think, well, I'm glad I ain't old as Brother Arnie is. You know, when you get my age, you start feeling a little something on the inside. You start feeling a little tug from the other side. And I'm not trying to suggest to you that I feel like I'm going to pass away real soon. But I can say this. When I was a young man, I was scared of death. And today, I can say, oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Are you kidding me? I can't die. My theophany is calling me, and your theophany is calling you. That's why you can't be happy in this world. You're not supposed to be happy here. You're only going to be happy in Him. He's the only source of the thrills that I get. I'm not big on trying to get excited, but if anything's going to excite me, it's going to be Him. I personally... Personally, I like the word enthusiasm better, but if you want to stay excited, go right ahead. I'm not going to bother you about it. But I've gotten myself in trouble more times under the influence of excitement than I have under the influence of inspiration or enthusiasm. If I want excitement, I go to Kings Island. If I want inspiration and enthusiasm, I go to church. Or in Alice and I's case, a lot of times we get on 64 East and we end up on the top of Chimney Top Rock or Cloud Splitter. That's some places to go in the Red River Gorge. We camped out one night on the edge of a cliff down there. We had a little tent set up. And the next morning, we woke up and we sat up there. And there was a valley down below us where the river ran. And the valley was just filled with this white, lush fog. And it was just moving real slow. And Alice and I sat up there. We couldn't even speak. Somebody asked Brother Branham when he was talking about God visiting him. They said, did it make you want to shout, Brother Branham? He said, no, it just made me feel real anchored. Amen. I like that word, anchored. Yes. I've anchored in Jesus. I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He has power to save. I've anchored in the Rock of Ages. But we sat up there, and we didn't say a word to each other. But I knew what she was thinking, and she knew what I was thinking. But it was just God moving up through that valley in that fog, and you could hear some little warblers. So there's little birds out in the wild, especially down in the gorge area. Them little warblers, they probably don't weigh it. 5 grams. I don't know how much 5 grams is, but when they sing, you can hear them for a mile, 5 miles. And how often I've heard Brother Branham say, I heard God in the rustling of the leaves. I heard God in the wind blowing through the pine trees. I heard God in the singing of the birds. I don't mean us birds. I heard God out there in nature. We're only going to be like Him. Now the Bible says that when He shall appear, it will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now I want to point out to you how when we think about that, we automatically think off in the future, right? He's going to appear one day. Oh, praise the Lord. What is that picture on the wall over there? What was that cloud up in the heavens? Was it Martians, was it? It wasn't no spaceship, like some have said. My, my, when he shall appear, Brother Branham said this. Now is the appearing. We're looking off into the future. You'll miss it. Looking back in the past, you'll miss it, as good as that was. Now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days, right here with us in these last few years. End Time Evangelism, 1962. When he shall appear, we'll be like him. But we will see him as he is. If this isn't the appearing of God that's taking place now, then what on earth, pray tell me, has changed an old crazy man like me into a Christian man? What has changed you from being selfish and self-centered and wanting nothing but look out for yourself? What has changed you and made you what you are if it isn't the appearing of God? Now, another thing that we miss, Elijah's mantle went where? He didn't take it with him, right? Elijah's mantle, and some people think it's sacrilege almost to talk like this. Elijah's mantle went on to Elisha. That's right. Now, who is Elisha? That'd be us. Amen. Elijah's mantle is on us in this hour. Oh, praise the Lord. Brother Branham said, you are raised with him. You're with Christ right now, seated in heavenly places. I love that. Right now, the Bible says that you and I are kings and priests. That priest thing is an awesome thing, Brother Nathan. You and I can walk into the Holy of Holies. We don't have to knock. Little Philip came to the office door when I was sitting downstairs, and I thought, who's knocking? It's just me in here, you know. And, oh, I'm sorry, Brother Arnie. I don't, what do you mean you're sorry? You don't have to be sorry. You can barge in on me anytime. Oh, my. We have access to God like we have never had ever in history. What we're experiencing with God is far beyond anything that has ever taken place in all of Christendom. Anything. I bar nothing. This is it. We're at the end time. It's going home time. Brother Branham said, I've read this to you before, I'm pretty sure. We're now living up here. This is not some new doctrine or something that you have to be scared of just because we don't say it a whole lot about it. We're living now up here in the bride age. That's not a different time, some new doctrine or something. We're living in the bride age, the calling out of the church and getting it together for the rapture. That's the age that we're now living. To my honest opinion, that's exactly the truth. It's what Malachi 4 said. Brother Branham didn't mention bride age until the last 8 months of his life. So it kind of means something. You know, do you know what a swan song is? I'm sure you do, most of you. Swan song is somebody's last hurrah, so to speak. And I think that, now I'm not, don't misunderstand me and think that I'm of the persuasion that before the seals, the word wasn't really opened, and after the seals is the only thing you can do. There are people who think crazy like that. I'm not like that. Every bit of Brother Branham's message is the word of God to me. But I believe that when the man was on the verge of leaving, and I believe the insight and the discernment that he had, I'm sure he understood that it was about time for him to go. But they say a swan rarely ever sings. And the only time you will hear a melody pass through their beak is when they're near death. And some of those messages that I've been listening to lately, near the end of Brother Branham's life, it almost seems like it was this swan song. I think he knew. He didn't want to scare us. But he probably said, "Where you going? You can't leave. We just got together here. Look at all these great things that are happening. Assemblies of God, they wanted to put him on a plane, fly him all over the world." He said, "No, thanks." But I believe that God had Brother Branham so in his grip that he kind of pressured some life out of him in his last year or so. And that was for us. There's olive oil. And Sister Vera and I have wondered about this for years. There's virgin olive oil, and there's extra virgin olive oil. Now figure that out. Brother Branham's message, his ministry was extra virgin olive oil for the little bride. To lubricate us, it was a balm in Gilead to turn our hearts from stone to living. I'm going to hurry now. I know I've been too long already, and I apologize. I shouldn't really have to apologize to mature Christians. The little children, I'm sorry. I know it's not easy, but I'm not going to apologize to you mature Christians. But I am going to hurry. This is the bright age, just as the evening light is shining. I'll tell you what I think that means. I believe it means, little bride, this is your finest hour. Amen. This is our finest hour. The token couldn't come there. We had baptism of the Holy Ghost. Galore, you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day. But the token is somewhat of a different story. When the token is applied, brother, was for this hour. No other hour but this. You're sealed, and I mean double sealed. Nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can't give it to you. If anybody can talk you into it, somebody could talk you out of it. But the token couldn't come in at this hour. And this is the time. I don't really believe this is the time to be trying to evangelize the world. I believe this is the time that the bride is to be laying in the presence of the Son to ripen. Amen. That means a love affair. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, "Jesus is coming. Everybody look busy." That's about the attitude of the religious world. Busy, busy, busy. We miss so much because, oh my. I heard a man talking about taking his family to the Grand Canyon. They got to one of the big overlooks. I've never been there, but he and his wife got out and they told the children to get out. And the little boy, he was about 10. He stood there and looked. He was there maybe 15 seconds. And then back in the car. And the guy said, "I felt like just picking the little fella up and just pitching him over the edge." Well, that would have been a little bit extreme, but isn't it sad? I hate to see little kids so caught up in technology that they would rather work out their thumbs than to go out in nature for a while. You just want to tell them, go out in the yard. Of course, it's winter. You have to be a little lenient on them. But this is the hour that the bride's coming to maturity. And Brother Branham said the Christian life is based entirely upon rest. Now, that doesn't mean that we just sit down and prop up our feet and expect everything to roll along. Like there was an old couple out in the country, and they were sitting in their little house by the fireplace. And the wife said, "Honey, why don't you go out and see if it's raining?" And he said, "Oh, let's just call the dog in and see if he's wet." Now, that's too laid back right there. We're to depend on the rest that God's given us, but it doesn't mean that we're not ready and willing to lend a helping hand at any time. But listen, our first service and our first obligation is to Him. Amen. Brother Nathan's first obligation isn't to this church. It isn't to his wife or his children or his friends or his brothers or his sisters. It's to Him. The Lord Jesus will not play second fiddle to any person, place, or thing. Amen. We need to let go and let God have His wonderful way. Somebody said that we work up a sweat trying to let go. Great things are happening. Great things are happening, Brother Terry, right under our nose. And we don't see them because we're too busy. We need to broaden our scope a little bit. Now, I'm not talking about broad-minded, because I understand you can get so broad-minded that you no longer fit into the narrow way. I'm just talking about don't wear them, get those blinders off so you can see the big picture of what God's doing. Because you're part of it, and I'm part of it. I'm going to be finished in just a couple of minutes, Lord willing. I think I've done a little better than last time as far as the timing, but we don't worry about that, do we? Now, the things I'm talking about, they're not illegal. Paul said all things are lawful, but all things aren't best. So the things I'm talking about, I'm not saying they're illegal. I'm not saying they're inappropriate. Traditionally, we want someone to lay hands on us. That's a tradition. The Bible says that the Lord sent His word and healed them. Now, I'm going to share this with you, and then we're going to have prayer, and then I'll turn the service to Brother Nathan and Brother Furman. I remember Brother Nathan saying one time, "Now, if you're depending on," he said, "if you're depending on me, what are you going to do if I'm on an airplane halfway across the sea? Whose hand are you going to get then?" I'll tell you what happened at a meeting in Denham Springs, Louisiana, on March the 21st, 1961. In the service, they were getting ready for a prayer line. There were people all around up front. They had prayer cards. And then Brother Branham said, "There's some of you don't have a prayer card out there. And you need a touch from the Lord. You want the Lord to touch you. You want Him to help you." And then he tells them about the little woman who couldn't get a prayer card. But she made her way through the crowd. She pressed her way in and touched the hem of His garment. Brother Layton told us about a special prayer cloth that he had, and he lost it one time. And he turned the house upside down, and evidently it was pretty serious for him. And I'm glad he found that prayer cloth. I want to say this, and I say this with all love and respect, but if Brother Layton would have needed a touch from the healing streams of God before he found his prayer cloth, I'll guarantee you the Lord would have been there to touch him. The greatest prayer cloth on earth is the hem of his garment. I'm not saying anything is wrong or illegitimate about prayer clothes. I'm just saying everybody doesn't have one. So are you right and they're wrong? No. We're both right because we want his will, not ours. So, in closing, I'm not going to ask anybody to come down here. I don't feel any need to lay hands on anybody. If there isn't anything wrong with somebody wanting a brother or sister to lay their hands on them and to pray for them. There's nothing wrong with that. But Brother Branham told those people out in the audience, he said, you don't have a prayer cloth. And he said, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask if you'll stand with me, if the musicians would come. I'm going to ask if you'll stand with me. And here's what Brother Branham told those people to do. He said, well, first of all, I'm going to say that in a crowd this size, I know that you've got a lot of needs. There's no doubt in my mind that some of you are suffering. Some of you may be discouraged. Some of you maybe have family problems and physical problems. But I want you to understand this, though. Brother Branham said there's much more to my ministry than healing. And he also said we're going to need something greater than a healing service. As great as all that is, Brother Branham said healing is a minor. But you know what? When it's me, when it was my little wife that had breast cancer recently, it was a major thing. And God came on the scene in a major way. Amen. And she's not dead like they like to tell you when they find something. They want to give you a death sentence right there. Well, they're crazy. That's all. But Brother Branham told the people, he said, I want you without anybody putting any hands on you as a genuine article of God, and he led them in this little prayer. And I'm going to ask you to repeat this little prayer with me, and then I'll be finished. But I want you to know that whatever your need is, God's greater. If you need a touch in your body, if you need encouragement, if things seem dark and dismal around you, Jesus can turn night to day just as easy as you and I can turn on a light switch. And he can change your circumstances. And there's people in some of your families that despise you because you're a Christian. You rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So if you have a need tonight, I want you to raise your right hand, and I'm going to lead you in this little simple prayer that Brother Branham prayed. And this is what he said. I want you to repeat this. I don't want you to just say it. I want you to pray it. Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ.
I believe you. I now accept you as my healer. I now accept you as my Savior. I believe it with all my heart. The work is done. It's just too simple for us. We want to complicate that. How are you going to complicate that? God said it. He'll do it. That settles it. We can't work up faith. Brother Branham said you can't work it up. It's already in your heart. Now then after he prayed that, Brother Branham said this. He said, if you accepted your healing, evidently some of the people down there threw away their prayer cards. Can you imagine that? If I was that close to having the prophet's hands laid on me, I wouldn't have turned that prayer cloth loose for nothing. Some of the people threw away prayer cards. He said, if you accepted your healing, threw your prayer card away, God bless you. That's real, genuine faith. Amen. Now listen closely to this, and I'll be finished. This is the last sentence. Nobody laid hands on you. You laid your hands on Christ. Amen. Is that good? I'm not saying we shouldn't have somebody lay their hands. I love people to lay their hands on me and pray for me. But I'm just telling you, there might not be any hands around someday. Right. Praise the Lord. And then he said this. Hold that promise and watch what happens. He said, now that's what I'm trying to get you to do. The real way that we're supposed to believe. Is that good or what? I didn't say that. He did. Praise the Lord. I appreciate having the golden opportunity of addressing a group of God's people like this. Like I said before, cream of the crop. God's like my buddy Terry back there. And God wants us to walk in liberty. And he wants us to walk in freedom. We are free. You know what Pentecost means? Pentecost meant 50. 50 was the number of Jubilee. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. You know what happened? God poured himself into his church for the first time. That's why when Brother Nathan quotes Brother Branham, we need to go back to Pentecost. He's saying we need God to pour himself into Amen. Us again and again and again. Amen. Every day should be the day of Pentecost for us. Yes. Praise the Lord. And I love you all, and I believe you kind of like me too. I hope you do. And I'm really grateful to Brother Nathan, and I'm glad to know him and that I can call him my friend. He's been a whole lot of encouragement to me. Us old guys go through things that most people don't know about. I won't go into that, but just read between the lines. But I love you, and I appreciate you, and Brother Nathan, come now and we'll sing or whatever. God bless you.
Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. Thankful for what we heard? Amen. Somebody said, well, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good. Well, that's the enemy of the great. Amen. I don't know about you after all that God has done for us, all I can say is I'm doing great. I'm blessed beyond what I deserve. So many things. I'm glad Brother Arnie doesn't talk real fast, because if he did, there's no way I could take notes fast enough to keep up with him. He says so many things that I write down, and sometimes borrow later. But I have a feeling, you know, I'll try to remind myself, but I have a feeling if I forget to remind myself, my wife probably wrote down those seven little words that I can use to keep romance in my marriage. So, honey, I was wrong and I'm sorry. Any of you brothers ever have to say that? Amen. Sometimes we have to say it, as he said, to our spouse. Sometimes, many, many times to the Lord. Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? I like what he said about the devil. The devil either try to tell you you're a big something or tell you you're a little something. He wants to either puff us up or either try to rob us of the little victory that we do have. So, amen. I hope we can keep walking with the balance. I've had a lot of brothers. I feel like that's one of the greatest compliments somebody can say to me. I've had brothers, I'm not worthy of it, but I've had brothers, different minister brothers that I hold in the greatest respect that I can hold any brother in, that have told me, Brother Nathan, you got such a balance. We appreciate that. And that's my desire, is that we would stay, not just as the pastor or not just as a ministry or a person. I pray as a church that we can stay balanced. I feel like there's so many that they lean to the left or lean to the right, and they get off on a limb, and then they're not man or woman enough to come back and admit, hey, I was wrong. Oh, my. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. I always want to be man enough to say, if I find something, you've heard me several times get up and say, you know, I expressed this, but I hope you didn't take it wrong. I found this quote, and I want you to make sure that you got caught the right way on that, or if I expressed it wrong, I'm sorry. I always want to be that way. If I've done something wrong, I'm sorry. Amen. Make it right and move on. True apology, said, doesn't have ifs, ands, or buts. You ever get an apology like that? Well, I'm sorry, but here's my excuse of why I did it all. Well, you must not be too sorry then. But amen. Let's just worship the Lord a little bit. Amen. He's wonderful. He's worthy of it. I know it's a little later, but it's Sunday night, so just think of it this way. It's not as late as if it was Wednesday night, so... Amen. Let's sing a few of these songs together. As he was preaching, a few of these came on my heart. Maybe we can just sing them together before we go.
Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's not my father or my mother. It's me. In the need of prayer, not my sister or my brother, it's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh yes, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, not my father or my mother. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Not my sister or my brother. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh yes, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing. In the need of prayer. Oh, yes, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, yes, it's me. I'm standing. Standing in the deep.
long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, sin I sang low. Oh, then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad. Bird out of prison that's taken his flight, like the blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar who found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his holy name. Bow our heads together. Had a prayer request come in for Heidi Peister. She's having tubes put in her ears tomorrow. So let's just join together in prayer for her. Lord Jesus, Lord, we ask you to be with little Heidi tomorrow, Father. Lord, having this procedure done to have tubes put in her ears, Father, I pray you'd guide the doctors, Lord, and may you be the unseen guest in the room. Just protect her, keep her safe, Lord. May it be a success. And Father, we just pray that you'd
move on the scene for each one here tonight, Lord. May what we've heard, Lord, may it go way down deep in our heart, Lord. May it anchor us, as Brother Arnie was talking, Lord, and just protect us as we go our separate ways, Lord. And we thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your protection, your mercy, and your grace to us, Lord. And just ask that you bring us back at the appointed time. Keep our eyes on you and our hearts on you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and thank you for all that you do. Amen and amen. I don't know that I've ever sang this song, but he was talking about it tonight, and you helped me. I don't know if I've got the right key, or I don't even know if I know how to sing it, but we're going to try it. I think Brother Joshua knows how to play it. If not, I've got confidence in him that he'll pick it up. One day I'm gonna take a step toward my theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step into my theophany. One day I know the final step. Oh, it's gonna set me free, my theophany. I hear it calling. What's it saying to you, Brother Nathan? It's a call and come up a little higher into the perfect word. Oh, come up a little higher into the agape love. Oh, come up a little higher, soar through those heavenlies, my theophany. Oh, I hear it call. Little children, should death knock on your door, don't you know that death, oh, it's just a doorway that leads to that heavenly shore. Over there, there's no heartache, no sorrows, grief or pain, just perfect love, peace and joy beyond compare. Oh, someday I'm toward my theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step. Oh, into my theophany. One day I know that final step. Oh, it's gonna set me free, my theophany. Oh, I hear it calling me. You hear it calling? Oh, it's calling. Come up a little bright, a little higher. A little higher into the agape love. Oh, come up a little higher and soar through the heavenly, my theophany. I hear it calling. Oh, maybe you've been in a valley for a while, but over the next hill, won't you look? Oh, I see victory around that next turn in the road. Marching onward to slay that old enemy around the next turn. I see King Jesus coming for me. Oh, one day I will take a step toward my theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step. Oh, into my theophany. One day I know that final step. Lord, it's gonna set me free, my theophany. Oh, I hear it calling me. Oh, it's a calling, come up a little bright, a little higher into this perfect word. Oh, come up a little higher into the agape love. Won't you come up a little higher, soar through the my theophany. I hear it calling me. Oh, it's a call to come up.
God bless you. You can be dismissed tonight. Let's sing it together as we go. One day I'm gonna take a step toward my theophany. One day I'll take another step into my theophany. One day I know my final step. Lord, it's gonna set me free. My theophany, oh, I hear it calling me. It's a call to come up a little higher into the perfect word. Oh, come up a little higher into that agape love. Oh, come up a little higher, soar through the heavenly. My theophany, I hear it calling me. One day I'm gonna take a step toward my theophany. One day I'll take another step into my theophany. One day I know that final step, Lord, it's gonna set me free. My theophany, oh, I hear it calling me. Oh, it's calling to come up a little higher into the perfect word. Come up a little higher. A little higher, soar through the heavenly. My theophany, I hear it calling. Oh, mercy, it rewrote my life. God's mercy, oh, it rewrote. Let's worship Him together. God's mercy, oh, it rewrote my life. God's mercy, oh, it rewrote my life. When I have but mercy.
Just a closer walk with thee. this world of toil and snares. Oh, if I thought, Lord, who cares? Oh, who with me can my burden share? Oh, none but thee, dear Lord, none but closer walk with thee. Oh, granted, Jesus, Lord, that's my plea. For I'm daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. My feeble life is o'er. Then time for me will be no more. Lord, won't you guide me gently, safely o'er? Oh, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just girl.